during those God moments that I call them, it's lovely to have music in the background. It's not a technique. It's a key to hold your spirit open so that you can receive that word during that time. It's very different than when we're preaching, because when we preach, the power of the word, the anointing on the word arrests you. But when we're just letting God talk into people's hearts, your hearts have to remain open. And music is a key to do that. If they changed the music, it would have stopped the flow just immediately. If they'd have stopped playing, it would have stopped the flow. They were keeping the atmosphere of your heart wide open so that as God was putting these words out, they were going in and being planted inside of your heart, not just your head. It was ministering to hearts and bringing healing, bringing hope. This truth isn't just for this church and the people that are here visiting for this conference. This truth is a universal truth with God. Song of Solomon, Bride of Christ. We're going to go there. But before we can talk about a bride, I have to deal with what a bride is, because some of us seem to know in the natural what a bride is, but in the spiritual, sometimes we don't. A lot of people have misconceptions, and I'd like to take some of those out of the way so we can be on the right track here. The bride isn't the Christian church worldwide. The bride may be in it, but the bride isn't the whole Christian church, because a Christian church is filled with all kinds of people. It's filled with sheep, it's filled with goats, and it's filled with wolves. The world is filled with tares and wheat. There's children of the devil and children of God. God wants us to have understanding. The bride is not made up of wolves. The bride company is not made up of goats. God doesn't want the goats taken out of the church because they help support the sheep. Praise the Lord for the goats. You say, well, who are the goats? It's not for me to say. I don't know. There's only one thing I really care about, is that I won't be a goat. And so the bride of Christ is someone that has a relationship with Christ, and brideship is brought in to those that have responded to the love of God. But a bride isn't a three-year-old either. A bride is someone who is mature. A bride is someone who has come into that age of romance with God. Someone who's enthralled with God, someone that's mesmerized with God, someone that's romanced by God, someone that doesn't follow God because they have to or because the pastor keeps after them, but someone who has discovered in Jesus Christ something beautiful and wonderful and runs after Him and goes after Him and responds to Him and allows Him to ravish them with His love, and they are in love with Him and there's obedience and they give themselves to Him so that through their life He can produce much fruit and bring into the kingdom many. Now that's a bride. So I want to take you to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. This is a song of progression. It means it progresses from level to level. The Lord is coming back for a bride. He's not coming back for children spiritually. He's not coming back for the wicked. He is coming back for the bride. Many of us were taught that there's a second coming, and yes, there is a second coming. But many other of us were taught that there's just a second coming, the first advent and the second coming. Folks, there's a lot of comings of the Lord into the world. He's coming for the bride in the secret of the night. As a thief comes in the night, he's going to steal the bride away and he's going to take her. And through it, they're going to be purified and their garments are going to be white through the blood of Jesus. And so the Lord comes in the secret of the night for the bride and takes her away. But then it speaks of the Lord coming and all eyes shall see Him. And He comes upon the clouds. That's not in the secret of the night. So there's a lot of comings of the Lord. The Lord is coming for a bride. He's not coming for the wicked yet. He'll come later for the wicked when He judges the earth and the wicked. So when He comes with the blowing of the trumpet. He comes where all eyes shall see Him. Now back to where we were, the bride. All right, the Lord is coming back for the bride. The Spirit and the bride are saying, come, Lord Jesus. There is a cry of those that belong to God that's rising up into heaven that's saying, we want you to call us home. And the first thing that happens is that God will call you away in your spirit while you're in the world. Here's the three calls that God is going to give the church. God's going to call us away from the world and into the church. And that call you've already answered. Then there's going to be a part where God calls you away from the church system and into Himself in a personal relationship where you don't depend on church. You go there to serve. That's the second calling away. The third calling away is when you're called away from your body, whether it's during the time all the rest of the bride goes or whether you go first, and He's going to call you away from this world into Himself when the bride is caught away. And so these three callings are happening by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord in the heavenly realm is calling people. So this is a good time to be called out of the world, not live for the world, not be part of the world, and get as many people into the church as possible, because that's going to be a safe haven for a lot of people when all hell breaks loose. A safe haven. I know of people by the hundreds that are just having fun with the world. They're in the church, but they're still having fun with the world and fun with everything else. They're living a life just like the world, but they're in church and they think they're safe. There's a calling away from the world, from sin, flesh, and the devil. And all that includes, it's a call from God to leave the world, to come away from the world and all that is in it. When the Lord calls us, He's going to call everything that belongs to Him away. We're spirit beings. We belong to God. God wants us to live in the richness of His inheritance. He doesn't want us to live in the poverty of the lack of understanding. God wants us to have everything He meant for us to have here on earth. So God is drawing us away from the world. And everybody that has their secret little thing at night with the internet, everybody's got one foot in the world and one foot in the church and think they're safe, better get the other one in the church. Because God's going to call the bride. The bride is not ready. I sing, I dance with the rest of you. That's great. That's the outer court stuff. But then we get into the holy place, and you start taking of the shewbread, and you start partaking of the light of the Spirit. And let me tell you that there was a curtain that closed out all outer light after you get there. You can't come in with your understanding, because the natural mind can't perceive the things of the Spirit of God. But you know, there's some things of the Spirit of God. When God starts illuminating you with the candlestick light, you cannot have outward light. We cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to the natural mind. And we have to enter into the world of the Spirit and let the mind of the Spirit understand the things that are God and give us development spiritually to develop into the head, into the maturity of this in Christ. Christ is developing a bride. A bride has to do with relationship and has to do with timing and have to do with age. A bride isn't a three-year-old. Now, is God a God of miracles? Yes. Did I rule you out? No. If you're 90 years old, join Sarah and her company. But you better have her faith, and you better have her God. You better have her Abraham, which is the covenant call of God over a man that was the initiation of the family of God. Every one of us are born from Abraham. If we were given faith by God, we are the sons of Abraham. And He said everyone would be blessed through one of His seed, which was Christ. All the world would be blessed. Praise the Lord. He doesn't change. His plans are all good. So, if you're pretty old, we're not going to rule out what I said, but still better to get with the program when you're at your peak, okay? And learn to enjoy the Lord now. Why wait? And so God's coming for the bride. He wants to develop a bride. How do we develop? Does a three-year-old get married? Anymore with all the hormones they put in chicken and meat, almost. But I don't know why the spirit of funny hit me tonight, but that's it. You don't teach a three-year-old how to tithe. You don't demand that they come to church every Sunday and be in prayer meetings. Let them be a kid. Let them enjoy life. They're still half in the world. They don't even look like Christians yet. They don't need to. It's not yet apparent what we shall be. But we know that the law of life that is in us is going to change us and continue changing us until we will be in His likeness when we awake before Him. So we need to be patient with ourselves and with others. It's all about spiritual development. It's all about spiritual growth. Until we come to the place where we're born again. And a new law, we live by a new law. We live by the law of the Spirit, and we don't live by the law of the flesh any longer. That gets cut off, and we begin to develop and continue to develop, then we continue to go into adolescence. And when we go into adolescence, you begin to take on responsibility in the church. That's when the pastor comes up to you and says, okay, you know what? We'd like you to help when we're setting up for our conference now. We'd like you to help us with the chairs. We'd like you to help with the music. You've got a good talent to play. We want you to start playing. Teach the Sunday school class. Why? Because you're not a three-year-old anymore. We've grown up, and that's good. And so now we're a teenager. We're learning a little bit about responsibility, but we're losing a little bit of childhood at the same time. And we're in that in-between time. But then we grow up into manhood. And when we grow up spiritually into manhood, it's more than responsibility. Now it's a matter of choosing a career. Now it's a matter of calling. Now God has a destiny for us. Now comes the gifts of the Spirit. Now God is starting to invest in us, just like parents invest in college in their children. So as they go to college, they choose a career. Now they're going to be prepared for the life they're going to go to. God does the same with us spiritually, and he begins to invest in us in the college and the school of the Spirit. He begins to invest in us revelation, understanding, and he begins to give to us anointings, things we didn't even know about. I was 14 years old when I experienced anointing for the first time. I didn't know what it was. I was really good at Spanish and English when I was going into adolescence. The Lord had called me the year before. I'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues, and this crazy, funny feeling came over me that I've had the rest of my life. And I didn't know what it was, but whoa, it was exhilarating. I just felt like 9 feet tall and I could take on a lion. And I didn't know what all that was. I didn't even know that it was anointing. I didn't know that you called anything like that anointing. I just knew I had something superhuman happening in me after I received the Holy Spirit, and I thought it was normal for everybody. So I decided to take on a responsibility, and that was that a missionary came down and needed somebody to translate for him. So this 14-year-old little kid went around with this missionary, translating for him everywhere he went. But I discovered that as I was translating over here, that it was really hard on the brain. Your brain starts frying after a few minutes. Because some of these guys forget they have somebody who's supposed to talk in the language people understand and just go a mile a minute and forget you're there. And so one day when I was going a mile a minute, I just felt this funny thing come over me like I did when I received the Holy Spirit. And I started to go a mile a minute. And he went a mile a minute. And I went a mile a minute. It felt good. And the moment came in the sermon where I thought I knew what he was going to say, and he would say what I knew he was going to say. And so at a given point, we were going a mile a minute, he stopped, and I didn't realize he stopped, and I kept going. Remember, I'm only 14 years old. I don't know anything about anointing. It'll happen to you. So we had a guy there that was an Englishman. He was sitting in the front row. The preacher stops, and I kept going a mile a minute. And when I was done, he leans over to him and says, "What did you say?" And so he told him. He said this, he said this, he said this. He said, "My God, that's what I was going to say. That's everything I was going to say next." I didn't know what plugging into the Spirit was and that I was getting the same download he was. It's the only way I could keep up with him. The crazy mystery's gone on ever since. I just hear the Spirit and I let it rip. And it happens many times. Sometimes prophets are prophesying and I know what they're going to say. Why? Because I'm plugged into the same source. I tell my musicians that all the time. You'll know when the note goes up and when the note comes down. You'll hear the song at the same time I do. We're all getting it at the same time. I've taught all my musicians to become prophetic. And they are. Because we're growing up now spiritually. We're not little children anymore. We're out here with a mission. A mission to bring God to the world, to bring the gospel to the world, and to bring enlightenment to our own spirit and heart. With all you're getting, get understanding. Now we're arriving at the place where God is going to prepare us for ministry. Now is when you start having encounters with God. Now is when you start understanding God. Now is when you start hearing the voice of the Spirit. You know, if someone asked me, what is the number one secret of ministry? I said, hearing the voice of the Spirit. What he tells you to do, do. And you'll be successful as a minister. It's as easy as that. If you can't hear the Holy Spirit, you need to go down, have several weeks of prayer and fasting, get on your knees until you can hear his voice again. Because without his voice, you're lost. He's the only one that knows what's happening. He's the only one that knows what to do. He's the only one that knows what the word for this person is and the word for that person is. He's the only one that knows what the next song is and whether you sang it too long or didn't sing it long enough. You get plugged into the source and it all worked. And so we're seeing development now. Now we're beginning to see the makings of a bride because you're coming into a time to allow God into your spirit to ravish you in his love. Song of Solomon. I want to start in verse 8, chapter 6. It says here in verse 8, there are 70 queens. That's 60. 320s. And 80, 420s, 80 concubines. And virgins without number. But my dove, here's the bride, my undefiled, is but one. He's not going to marry a defiled bride. Is the only one of her mother. The mother's the church. She's born out of the church. She is the choice one of her that bare her. That's the company of the bride that's in the church. The daughters, that's the rest of the people in the church, saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? This is the dove, the bride. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Now here is the company of bride that's in love with Jesus, the only one entitled to enter into spiritual warfare. Okay, now let me break it down. Virgins. Virgins are women that have never experienced an intimate relationship with a man. What does this represent in the spirit world, in the church world? It represents those that have no other gods and that have kept themselves only for the Lord. They haven't been corrupted. They haven't been violated. They haven't given their love to any other thing. There are those that are separated from other churches. They're not Muslim. They're not Hindu. They're not New Age. They are separated themselves to the gospel and they've separated themselves to Christ. They're virgins. And it says that there's virgins without number. You show me a large church of 20,000 people and I'm going to show you a church that has very little spiritual development. They're all children. Virgins without number. What are the virgins? Those that have never had a real encounter with God. They've been conceived by His Spirit. Some of them are in gestation and others perhaps have been born and they remain forever children or babies in the Lord. That's why there's so many of them. God has a company that's innumerable. Impossible to number is the company of virgins. Most of the church is made up of people that have never had a personal encounter with the Lord. Now, look at the reduction in number. The closer you are to God, the less there are that walk around you and with you. The less there are that understand you. The less there are that God permits to be in your company because He is so jealous in His love, He's going to guard who speaks into your life and who is with you. Who are the concubines? Let's just break this down. The concubines speak of that company of people that have had a one-time encounter with their husband, maybe two, maybe once in a while, but they're not the main wife. Do you know that if a king had a concubine and she had children by the children couldn't have the name of the king. They couldn't bear the name of the king. And if the king died, they couldn't receive the inheritance with the other legitimate children that came from the wife. There was only one wife that could give children to the king that could inherit his name and could take the inheritance of the king. That speaks of spiritual inheritance. And so without getting into the details, the concubine represents all those people in the church that God has that have had an encounter with God once in a long while and they've brought children to the Lord, but most of those children don't really go on to know the Lord and they don't ever go into the full inheritance of God for them in life. Those are the concubines and there's a lot of them. But watch the reduction of number from virgins without number to 80 of them. That's quite a breakdown. But now queens. Let me tell you, let's break down queens. Queens are not only the ones that have a relationship with a king, but that share his authority. We're talking now about ministry. We're talking about the part of the body of Christ that have come into ministry and have been anointed by the Holy Spirit and share his office, share his authority, share his gifts, and whatever they say goes. Because they stand with him on the throne. They can bring judgment. They can govern in the church. They are the ones that God has set up with authority. He has set up with apostles, prophets, preachers, teachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists. They're the ones that God has set up. They share his throne with him. They also share with him in intimacy. They walk with God. They're anointed by God. They share in his authority. But look, there's a whole lot less of those. You look at the church. If there's 1 billion people in the Christian church, there's probably, 500,000 ministers. The queens are a whole lot less. Because they represent a number of those that have an encounter with the king. They're intimate with the king. He's ravished his love upon them. They share in his authority, and that's all the further they go. A lot of them grow up out of that, and they grow up into a place of queenship. Next thing you know, they're on the ministry team with you. Next thing you know, they're anointed, and you're imparting into their life what God has put upon yours, and other people are doing the same, and they're moving on. We're going to keep growing on until we're in the bride company. So when I say that the whole church isn't the bride, are you understanding now? Because the church is comprised of all of this. And we have to have understanding to know who we're dealing with. I don't deal with an adolescent the same way I deal with a three-year-old. And I don't deal with a three-year-old as a firstborn baby. And I don't deal with a firstborn baby as you would an embryo. God will do it. There's some things he has to do all by himself. Whether it takes or not, whether the word takes or not in you, it's up to you and God. I can't get in the middle of that. No matter how much I love God, no matter how much authority I have, it's between you and God whether this baby's going to make it to birth or not. But now there's one that has learned to be clear as the moon. Let me tell you something about the moon. She doesn't have her own light, but you wouldn't know it if you were looking at her, because she reflects the light from the sun. That is those people who, after being queens, after sharing in the authority of God, go on into where they begin to reflect the light of God. You see the light of God in them. You realize that there's light, there's understanding, there's revelation, there's something happening in them. They're not just governing, they're not just graduated out of the Baptist Bible College and now they're pastors. There's a revelation of God that's come into their spirit. There is light, there's understanding. They've come in, they're clear as the moon, they have reflected light upon them, and you're seeing Jesus in them. You're starting to see a little bit of the character of Jesus in them. You're starting to see a little bit about the image of Jesus in them, because the whole purpose of God was to take us from babyhood all the way to full stature into the head, to take on the image of the Son, like the Son was the image of the Father. Did I go too fast? God wants us to come into the full image of Christ, like Christ came into the full image of the Father. There's no way we're going to come into the full image of the Father. Only Christ could do that. And we might come into the partial image of Christ. In His servanthood, maybe, God will develop us fully as a servant. All I can tell you today is that as we continue developing, we're moving toward the bride company. Christ is going to come back looking for a bride. He's looking for the people that have been developed, that have gone through all this. Now you're talking about the dove, the only one. Now you're talking about the one that's clear as the moon, that you can begin to see the reflection of His light, of the light of His countenance, the light of His glory, the light of His image, the light of His character on their personality. And when He's talking now about this only one, the one that the mother brags about and praises her, and the rest of the church praises her, are the ones that have come in to the clarity of the sun. They come into the brilliance of the sun. These are the people that when revival starts, move in the fire, and they can move in the fire. These are the ones that the Lord speaks to. As He spoke to me, you will be the one that walks among the ones that walk in the stones of fire. And you know what it's like to walk with a God of fire and not be consumed. You know what it's like to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in an oven of fire. Walk in the fire, walk with Him in the fire, come out of a fire and change a nation and not be burned by the flames. You know what it's like to be in a revival for year after year after year in several countries that you go to, and the fire of God falls upon a whole congregation. I thank God that He put me through the school of the brightness of the sun, where you can stand the sun, you can walk into the sun, and it doesn't hurt you. Why? Because step by step you've allowed the Holy Spirit to take your nature through a purifying process to come into a place where you can stand to be with God. How many of us can stand to be with God? You know what the Lord said to me in the hotel? The day after I came here, I just preached about bow the heavens and come down. Do you know what the Lord said to me? I'll tell you. He said, what are you going to do with me when I do? And you know what scripture He gave me? The scripture of Pilate. When he said to the chief priest, he said, what will we do with Jesus? When we get Him, what are we going to do with Him? Do you have any idea what He's like? You cannot come in to a developed spirit with God. You cannot come into that bride company where He consumes you with the jealousy of His love without Him purifying you at a level you never thought had to be purified. At your mind level, your thought level, everything. He said, I can see and hear your thoughts before you even think them. And yet it's a holiness you want more of. It's like you want to be attracted into the sun. The hotter it gets, the better it feels. Why? Because you realize that as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the only thing the fire burns is your bondages. The only thing it burns is the stuff that confines you. The only thing it burns is the stuff that's no good. Clear is the sun. Let me tell you something about purification. There are three levels of purification: the water, the blood, and the fire. The Bible says very few can endure the fire. When you got baptized, you got washed. It washed away your past life. That's a purification by water. The purification by blood is the blood of Jesus that deals with things as you go along, except the ones you leave and permit in your life. But then there comes a purification of fire when God deals with your ego, He deals with your pride, He deals with things in your life that no one wants dealt with, and we just don't want to hear it anymore in America. God's calling the bride. The Spirit and the bride are calling, calling, calling. This one is terrible as an army with banners. When God turns it over to the nations that are going to rule the world, we're going to have Christians that know how to tap into the resources of eternal power in God to do spiritual warfare. And we're going to have a bride ready for that, because this one is terrible as an army with banners. This one is ready and equipped by God, taken through the fire, cleansed through the cleansing, brought through the power and authority that God has given her. And she does mighty warfare in the spirit world, keeping it checked, the things before the world blows up before its time. God's raising up a company of people that are going to develop into that stage. Do you know that the world is clamoring and crying out, the whole Christian world is crying out for the mature sons of God, for those that God has taken through the fire, has taken through the earthquakes, has taken through the whirlwinds, and they have survived them all and know their God and can do great exploits. They're terrible as an army with banner. You're going to need them. And God's going to raise them up all over our nation. He's going to raise them up all over the world. They're going to be a company of people. We're going to know who we are. And if we never meet each other, we're going to all be working at our station from where we are. And God has us strategically placed. God has strategies. We know His strategies. We walk in His strategies. Somebody say, praise the Lord, so I know you're still with me. Okay, tell me now, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you? America's going to see some people come alive again unto God, and we're going to see revival come. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to bring you under the canopy of the Holy Spirit for just a moment. Father, I just ask tonight by your Holy Spirit that same cry that you've put in all of our hearts to pray through, to bow the heavens and come down, I think is a genuine cry of your Spirit. Get us ready, Holy Spirit. Let there be new levels of consecration. Let us check our heart out tonight. Let us hear your word. And as we've been under this word that checks and examines our heart out, it's not been a man, it's been your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Take authority, Lord, over every spirit, squirmish spirit in the heart of Christians that want the easy way out, when we have martyrs that laid down their blood for us to have a gospel today. Put in us such a call of your Spirit that we'd be willing to lay down our life for our brother. No greater love there is. Father, I ask today that you would visit us in a mighty revival. Break out with your Holy Spirit, without which we can do nothing. Awaken your bride in this place. Cause us to grow up in your Spirit. Cause there to be a yesterday and tomorrow. Cause some lives to date the changes in their life from this conference on and from this conference back. Let there be lasting changes by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts tonight. Bring them right out of their chair and bring them to the altar to do business with you, to get their life straightened up with you, to be aligned with your Spirit, to be aligned with truth, to say, God, here I am. I become cold. I become indifferent. I become just a churchgoer. I've gotten so used to just listening to music, dance to the entertainment, and listen to a sermon and go home. But God, I knew there was something more than that. I knew you were a God of consuming love. I knew that there was power in you that there was nowhere else. I knew, Father, I knew that there was something more than that, that we could give our life to a power that changes a life within. When you receive the power of the Holy Spirit invading a heart, it's like, yes, Lord, change this heart. Bring them up out of their chairs, Lord, and bring them down to the altar. We're not going to make any altar call. It's between you and God. The message has been the altar call. The message has been a call to the church to get right with God. And you know what it is? Sometimes it's just procrastinating a call that Lord has put on your life. Sometimes it's just living far away from the source of life and fire. Come to God, He will change you. Spirit of darkness keeping people in a realm of darkness, break off of them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Open your eyes only if you're going to get up out of your chair and walk down here, because you can't walk blind. But if not, keep your eyes shut. Doesn't matter who goes down there. Pick them up off the chair, Lord. Take them down to the altar. One by one, you know who they are. I don't need to know. Some of them will leave tonight and miss the call of their life. Others will continue deaf and never hear the voice of your Spirit. Others will continue on like they were, but others will touch through to a life they never knew existed. They will come to a consecration they never knew before. Don't open your eyes unless you're going to walk down to the altar. It's none of our business who does what in this place. It's God's business with His people. And when you reach the altar, talk with God. Let me say something to you. We've all depended so much on ministry and impartation and being pushed down and being put down by the Holy Spirit that we have never really developed a relationship with God. I want you to meet God tonight. He's here for you. The Holy Spirit is here for you. If your heart is breaking, if you find weeping, if you find something that brought you down to the altar, it's someone is waiting for you right here. It's the Holy Spirit. Rededicate your life. Bring it back to Him. You want to stand up here, you can stand. You want to kneel on the carpet, you can come up here and kneel. Whatever you feel to do, you do. But meet God tonight, because He's here for you. He's here to meet with you. That same God is here to meet with you. Don't depend on someone walking up to you and praying so that you can meet God. Don't depend on that anointing that someone has. Have your own anointing. Meet God. Have Him bring you into the company of queens, where you share His anointing, His power, His authority, where you become one like others to bring God to the nations, to bring God to people who are lost, to bring the gospel and pay the price and say, God, I will be one of them. I will be one of them. And if you're up here and you're struggling and can't meet with God, let it show you where you are. And instead of giving up, push all the harder. Be like that woman that wouldn't give up. Be like the blind man. Jesus, thou son of David. Shut up, man. Get out of here. The disciples got after him. Told him not to be so loud. He cried the louder. I refuse to go home the way I came. I refuse. If this is God, if He is speaking, then He's got to meet with me tonight. I've got to meet with Him. I cannot remain the same as I am. I want His change. I touched through to His love this weekend. I will never be the same. And I want God. I am through with all the bitterness. I am through with everything in my life that tore me away from You. I want back again to that realm of life. Back again to the Spirit of the living God. Come back, child, come back. Come back into His arms. He's waiting for you. He's going to repair your life. He's going to restore it. All the damage is going to be made whole again. He's healing you right now. And after He's healed you, you're going to develop. You're going to become a light in the church. You're going to become a blessing. Grow, develop all the way. Meet with God. Meet with the Lord. I leave you with Him because you must find your way. You must find your way alone. Most of you that are here aren't little babies anymore. You can meet Him. You can hear His voice. You can sense His Spirit. It's His Spirit that got you this far, and His Spirit will take you all the way into a new consecration, into a new level of life. Lord, burst the heavens. Rend the heavens. Come down upon Your people. Let them sense Your presence, Your power, Your fire. Let that anointing that breaks the heavenly realm and comes down and meets with people one-on-one happen in this place. Let it tear up the fallow ground. Let it plant the seed of everlasting life. Be a true Christian. Be one that's on fire. Be one that's whole. Be one that He sets alive. Be one that He can heal. One that's not a baby anymore, where God's got to do everything for you, impart into you life, impart into your hope, pray for you, put you under his power over and over and over to heal you again and again and again, to wash you and cleanse you. Take this opportunity to ask the King of love to wash again and cleanse, and let the fire of his love burn again in your heart. Restore that relationship between you and him, where you become alive unto him again, where you come out of the doldrums of the cold and the chill and the distance, and you know him. You know him. You know him. Open your mouth. All of you up here, open your mouth. Talk to him. Talk to him. Let me show you a secret. When you're in your secret closet of prayer, you can talk to him in your own spirit, because that's where he is. But he says that when we gather together, he comes out from us and he's in the midst of us. So if you plan to talk to him, you've got to talk to him out loud. Everywhere here, start talking out loud. Talk to him out loud, and you'll find that something will change in you really quick. Let this whole place be filled with cries to the Holy Ghost. Come on, we don't need to hear what you're saying. We just want you to cry out to the Lord. Let your voice be heard. Learn how to go through on your own. Someday your pastor isn't going to be there, but you'll know how to reach through to God. Come on, let your voice be heard on high. Cry out unto God today. Let him hear your voice. Let him hear your prayer. It's your prayer he's going to answer. It's you he's going to find out. You do know God. God is your God. He hears your prayer. He answers your prayer. He is alive. That's right. That's right. Louder, louder. Let it come out with strength, with purpose, like it means something to you. Over and over and over, I've been in congregations around the world where people at the top of their lungs were just screaming out to God, and I was watching God touch life after life after life, some being delivered from spirits, some being healed, some being changed, some being transformed, some falling out under the fire as they cry out to God at the top of their lungs, God, this is real. I can't go on like this. I'm dying like this. I don't care who hears or who sees me. I want reality. That's how revival starts, when people start obeying the Holy Spirit and the instructions of the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's right. With all your heart, he hears you. Wherever you are, on your face, on your knees, wherever, standing, just pray. God is here. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He'll meet with you. This is for real. This isn't entertainment. This isn't church as usual. We want revival. Let's start responding to revival. God will come to us when we come to him. God said, if you want revival, you return unto me and I will return unto you. We've got to be the first to come. We've got to first to cry out. We've got to be the first to say, God, we've just lived a sham. We've lived on the border. We've lived on the outside. We want in. We want in. Knock at the door while it's still open and say, Lord, let me in. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about people who have been saved a long time ago. Obey the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Let your voice be heard on high. More, more. In English, in Spanish, whatever language you speak in, speak out to the Lord. We're done with church, Lord. We're done with church as usual. We need revival. We need reality. We need you. We need a generation that experiences you. I want to see the youth in the States like I saw the youth in Argentina, on fire with God, on fire, total fire of reality, a revival of life, a revival of God, many of whom are missionaries all around the world.
Deeper, Lord, deeper than ever before. Burn, oh God, burn out the flesh, burn out the fear of man. Burn, oh God, until there's nothing but you left, oh God, because you are a consuming fire. You are a jealous God. You will not let me love any other but you, Lord. Do it, God, by the power of your Spirit, because it's not in me, but it's in you. Oh my God, oh, living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto you, which is my reasonable service.
We pray for revival. We better be ready for one. If we cry out for God to come, what are we going to do with him when he does? Let him work in you now. Let your prayer be like that prayer you just heard. Let it come out with fire. Let it come out with passion. Let it come out by the Holy Ghost. Give the Holy Ghost. God said, why do you rob me? And we say, how do I rob the Holy Spirit? You deny him the right to speak through your mouth. We deny him the right to cry out from us. He said, if you deny him, the rocks will cry out. We want revival. Let it come. Let it come. Don't resist it. Cry out like blind Bartimaeus. Say, God, we need you. We're sick and tired of church as usual. We want your spirit to manifest and come in reality and revival to break out in the church. Don't fear to cry out. Let your voice be heard on high, says the scripture. When they cried out unto the Lord heard and answered.